Thank you, Rob, and good morning to you all. It's lovely to see you. I really mean that because there are times when I preach to an almost empty church, but it's nice to see one that's so full this morning. So thank you for coming. Not that you came for me, but while we're just sort of organising paperwork here, let me say that if you were unable to come last Thursday night, 3 nights ago, to hear Mark Greenwood, you missed a great night, but don't fret too much about that. You've got more opportunities. And I would really, really encourage you to come on Thursday here at 7:30, if that's a possibility for you. He's a great communicator, full of ideas, and just down-to-earth practical help and teaching about how we, as Christians, just go about living Christian lives and sharing our faith with people. This will really, really help you. So if you can come Thursday and the following Thursdays, but you're not making any commitment to that, please do come. You will find it immensely helpful and well worthwhile. If you are a visitor here this morning, or you've not been coming for very long, let me say that we here at the church from the beginning of September are in what one might class as a season of mission and evangelism. The whole year, in fact, that's the church year, will be focusing on mission and evangelism and all the things that we're doing. You'll hear of them week by week that give us those opportunities. And when our beloved minister gave me the title for this morning, he prefaced it by saying, "Going, going, gone." For some reason, he is fascinated by the fact that all my working life, I've been using one of these. And the reason I believe in auction as a way of selling property, and I'm not trying to lead a revolution against the estate agents, but the reason I believe in it is because you will well know that the phrase that is associated with any auctioneer is literally going, going, gone. And from a property sale point of view, when that hammer, sorry, gavel, falls, the deed is done. It's settled. It is too late to do anything about it, whether you were the seller, whether you were the buyer, or whether you were a frustrated buyer, because the deed is sealed. And in a sense, what we're looking at this morning, and the title is on the screen in front of you, what we're looking at this morning really is mirrored by the auction process. There is an opportunity. The opportunity may or may not last for some while. But there comes a point when the opportunity goes because things are brought to finalization or to a conclusion. And from a point of view of sharing our Christian faith, I want to tell you this morning, good people, that time is not on our side. Time is not on our side. As human beings, we have several traits to our behaviour. I've been thinking a little bit about this. Forgive me if this is a generalised statement, but one of the traits of human nature is that we put off doing the things that we don't really want to do. And there's many an attic and many a loft space and many a garage that will testify to that. The things that are not deemed to be urgent and we don't really want to get involved in and get round to doing because we know that one thing will lead to another and, oh, I can't face it, we put off doing. Am I right? Or am I right? And another trait of our human nature is that we like to plan ahead. I won't embarrass you by asking you to stick your hand in the air if you've already got next year's holidays sorted. Well, they may not be sorted, but at least they're sort of going round here and they're coming to a conclusion. I heard somebody say the other day that now the holidays were finished and done with, they were looking forward to Christmas. Go on. There are many people like that. Or we're looking forward to an anniversary or a celebration of some sort, or we're looking forward to going someplace, but we make plans for the future, yes? And we act as if time goes on and on and on and on. I heard somebody tell me the other day that they were going on a cruise in 2019. And I thought, is that next year? No, this is 2017. But that's the way we are. We plan our lives as if time is going on and on and on. But you know, sometimes, and tragically very often, those plans become shattered by other things that intervene. You and I can only live for the now. We can't live for tomorrow, and we can't live for next week, month, year, whatever, because you cannot presume upon it. Things come into our lives, into our circumstances, into our situation. All the best plans that we lay just fall into tatters because they won't happen. I don't know whether you've watched a program on television. I think it was a Monday night about 4 weeks ago, which was a tribute to Diana, Princess of Wales. And it involved Harry and William. I ran out of the room and I wrote down a quote from Prince Harry. And here it is. If I had known that was the last time, this is the night before, if I had known that was the last time I was going to speak to her, the conversation would have gone in an entirely different direction. People, we all live with regrets. I won't remind you. Go on, I will. I preached here years ago, it seems, on if only. If only. If only I had my time over again. If only I had opportunity to put things right. If only, if only, if only. We live with regrets because we cannot change the past. Right, so we're going to have, having said all that, we're now going to have our scripture reading for this morning. It's on the screen, but if you want to turn to it in your Bibles, it's 2 Kings chapter 7. And it's on page 374. 374 in the Bibles, if you can grab one from the chair in front of you. Or it's on the screen. Let me just give you the background to this passage of Scripture. The background is that in a city of Samaria, Israelites are surrounded by an opposing enemy, the Aramaeans. And the Aramaeans quite rightly have decided that if they stay there long enough, the people of Samaritan city will get starved to death, or they'll come out and surrender. Times were hard and times were bleak. And the prophet Elijah comes along and says, "Hear the words of the Lord." What he says actually is quite amazing and wouldn't make any sense whatsoever to the citizens of that city. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, a seer of flour will sell for a shekel and two seers of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. The officer on whose arm the king was leaning said to the man of God, "Look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of the heavens, could this happen?" "You will see it with your own eyes," said Elisha, "but you will not eat any of it." Now there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. Just a little bit about that. Leprosy was an untreatable but very contagious disease. So anybody with leprosy was put out of the community. And these four men were sent to sit at the city gate outside the main community within the city. So they were excluded and sent to the entrance of the city gate. And they said to each other, "Why stay here until we die? If we say we'll go into the city, the famine is there and we will die. And if we stay here, we will also die. So come on, let's go to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we'll live. And if they kill us, nothing changes." At dusk they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans, and when they reached the edge of the camp, not a man was there. For the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and Egyptian kings to attack us." So they got up and they fled in the dusk, and they abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys, and they left the camp as it was, and they ran for their lives. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp and entered one of the tents. They ate and drank and carried away silver, gold, and clothes and went off and hid them. And they returned and they entered into another tent and they took some things from it and they hid them also. Then they said to each other, "We're not doing right. This is a day of good news and we're keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. So come on, let's go at once and report this to the royal palace." So they went and they called out to the city gatekeepers and told them, "We went into the Aramean camp and there was no one there. Not a sound of anyone. There were only tethered horses and donkeys and the tents left just as they were." The gatekeepers shouted the news and it was reported within the palace. So the king got up in the night and said to his officers, "I'll tell you what the Arameans have done. They know we're starving, so they've left the camp to hide in the countryside, thinking they'll surely come out, then we'll take them alive and we'll get into the city." So one of his officers answered, "Make some men take 5 of the horses that are left. Their plight will be like that of all the Israelites left here. Yes, they will only be like all these Israelites who are doomed." Note the word doomed. "So let us send them to find out what happened." So they selected 2 chariots with their horses, and the king sent them after the Aramean army. He commanded the drivers, "Go and find out what has happened." They followed them as far as the Jordan, and they found the whole road was strewn with clothing and equipment that the Arameans had thrown away in their headlong flight. So the messengers returned and reported it to the king. Then the people went out and they plundered the camp of the Arameans. So a seer of flour sold for a shekel and 2 seers of barley sold for a shekel, as the Lord had said. Now we haven't got long this morning, but just bear all that detail in your mind, because what I want to draw out of that are some principles and some parallels, spiritually speaking, for the situation that you and I find ourselves in this morning. First of all, it's fair to say that the strategy was risky, but it was common sense. Here were 4 lepers, faced with starvation, put out of the camp with whatever food there was left in there. What are we going to do? If we go back to them, we're going to die. If we stay here, we're going to die. Let's chance our luck with the Aramean army. Common sense. You and I, under the guise of self-preservation, would have tried to do exactly the same thing. And so they left the city gate and they went into enemy territory. Ah, there's the rub. Jesus said to his disciples, "I am sending you out as sheep amongst wolves. I'm sending you out into enemy territory where you won't feel safe, where you'll feel uncomfortable, where you'll feel worried about your safety, etc., etc., etc. So we, being sent out by Jesus, because he said, go and make disciples, may feel rebuffed. So we put it off. But my friends, where else do you go to fulfill the command of Jesus that we make disciples? Where else do you go? You don't come into church because hopefully God's disciples are already here. You go out into enemy territory. Common sense? Yes. And time was running out for them. Time was running out. Disaster lay at their door, and the end was inevitable if they stayed where they were. Scripture tells us that God has fixed a day. Folks, I'm not preaching this morning on the second coming, the return of Jesus. That's great material for another day. But Paul said to his hearers in Athens, God has fixed a day where he will judge the world. It's in his diary. It's still in his diary. Jesus said of that day, no one knows, not even me. But you see, there is going to be an end point. It's the final day. It'll be the end of the day of grace when men and women can no longer repent. God has fixed a day. You and I have got no idea when that might be. But all I would say to you, as fellow Christian people in the community of God's family, discern the times. Read 1 Thessalonians 5. Time is not on our side. The clock is ticking and we're counting down. Overstatement? No. 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 So the lepers arrived at the enemy camp and woohoo! They discovered good news. God had gone before them and cleared out the enemy. Here they discovered there was food. What do you want if you're hungry? Food. Here was hope. What do you want if things are looking bleak? You want hope. Here was life. What do you want if you're faced with death? Life. And it's exactly the same in Jesus. We've got a world around us that's looking for spiritual food, looking for hope, looking for life. Looking for fulfillment, looking for purpose, looking for a future. We've got it in Jesus. When Jesus was confronted with death at the tomb of one of his best friends, Lazarus, he said, not just to the family, but to all his hearers, the Jews and the Pharisees, I am the resurrection and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And however you might, men and women this morning might think that they can make themselves good enough for God, however they can get to God, Allah, call him what you want, they won't do it unless it's through Jesus. And he alone has got the answer to men's problems. You'll not find escape from the sentence of death anywhere else except in Jesus. That, my friends, is such a far-reaching statement. You will not find escape from the sentence of death, spiritual death, anywhere else except in Jesus. He said, the Son of God, said that no one comes to the Father except by me. And I want to ask you this morning whether you've discovered that for yourself. Do you believe it? Do you live by it? Personal faith in the one and only Saviour of mankind is absolutely crucial as individuals. So they discovered good news. What was the good news? Salvation was available. All the folks in the besieged city were totally ignorant of it. But these four lepers discovered that salvation was available. What a picture of today's society that we live in. The tragedy is people do not know what they are rejecting. They don't. They might say, I couldn't care less, but they don't know what they are rejecting. And as we heard last week from Rob, it falls to you and me to tell them, in partnership with God and His Holy Spirit. And then we find from this story that delay could have meant disaster. It could have had catastrophic consequences. While these four chaps were enjoying everything that was on offer, my goodness, they were on cloud nine. But delay, in terms of them enjoying what they had got, without telling the people who were really in need, could have been disastrous. And therefore the task was urgent. It requires immediate action. Verse 9. It will not wait until daylight. Jesus warned that night was coming when no one can work. Not yet. Well, it's still daylight. I don't mean like this. Spiritually speaking, it's still day, but we don't know when night is coming. Heed the warning. Heed the warning from Jesus' lips himself of five bridesmaids who were wise and five bridesmaids who were foolish. Matthew 25. The five who were foolish just acted as if life goes on and on and on, but yes, one day it'll come to an end. And they missed out and they missed the opportunity and they banged on the door and said, wasn't my fault. Please, will you let me in? Jesus said, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Good news is for sharing. These men came to a sense of realization after they recognized the utopia that was around them, that they'd got something to share. This is a day of good news, they said to each other. And we're not doing the right thing by sitting here, standing around, enjoying what we've got in front of us. It needs communicating. We're keeping it to ourselves, was their response. So let's go at once. These men became messengers of life to a city that was under sentence of death. Verse 13. Doomed. That was the word I emphasized to you. Doomed. And so too it is with us. Whether we like the message or whether we don't, that we live amongst men and women and young people and children who are doomed if they don't know the life that only Jesus can bring. And so they displayed unselfish compassion. So they went back and told the gatekeeper that they had found that the camp of the Arameans was empty, and there was food, and there was silver, and there was gold, and there was clothing, there was everything that all the people wanted. But what they didn't say was, actually, don't tell the house of Rahab, because we don't like them. Or don't tell Elijah's lot, because they're not fit. They just told the good news to the whole city. No exclusions, no exceptions. Come on, come on! Having been thrown out, excluded themselves, they could have revelled in what they'd found and kept it to themselves. They didn't have to go back to the city. They didn't have to go and say anything. But they cared about their fellow people. We don't have to say a word, folks. We don't have to tell anyone about Jesus and about the good news. We don't. Except we, by doing that, would be contrary to what Jesus had told us to do. If we want to display selfish lack of compassion, I was going to say fine, no it's not, but you can choose to do that. They cared about the plight of their fellow people. And it was for every inhabitant without any exclusion. Do you know why? Because God has not excluded any single person he made in his own image from the good news of the gospel. You can't go to the wrong person. You can't talk about Jesus to somebody that God doesn't love. So when that news reached the king said, let's go and check it out. We've only got 5 decent horses left that are capable of walking or even trotting, let alone galloping. Let's go and see if what these guys are telling us is true. Do you know, when you know the answer, that's actually quite wise advice. Check it out. See if what these guys, are telling you is actually true. And discovering the truth brings monumental blessing. In the space of less than 12 hours, there was a complete turnaround in the fortunes of these besieged people. And the scripture says, we read it together, verse 16, they went out and they plundered the camp of the Arameans. It wasn't just basic rations that they found. It was a lavish provision. That's God. Grace upon grace upon grace. God doesn't do you down. God doesn't give you hardly enough. God gives you more than you could ever want. More than we deserve. More than we could expect or imagine. Wow, what a turnaround for these people. The curtain of darkness had been drawn back. Certain death had been turned into life. Total reversal of their situation. Monumental blessing. I remember years and years and years ago, my father recounting a story of somebody who had come to the Lord. I can't remember through who, but it was somebody who had led a friend of his, a work colleague, to the Lord. And the person who had been instrumental as being part of God's blessing for that had said to the new convert, how are you getting on in your Christian life? He said, fine,
It's great.
He said, but I've got one thing against you. Why didn't you tell me about this before? Folk, we are the keepers of good news for all mankind. People who are doomed. Why don't we tell them about it? Why don't we? You see, and when we have that intention to do so, the wonderful thing is that God was at work in partnership with unlikely people. It wasn't the king's officer who went out and sought terms of peace with these people. It was four lepers who'd been excluded from the whole society who brought back good news. So we're all included. He can, he does, and he will use you and me, however unlikely you think that might be. If you were here at church several weeks back now, Alistair Kay was with us. And I remember one thing distinctly that he said. The primary reason we are alive is to tell people about Jesus. More importantly, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. That's all of us, folks. All of us. Individually. Not just a few. Not just some. Not people who've got the gift of the gab. Not people who can communicate with others. It's all of us. I am sending you, and 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 you. So how many opportunities have we got? Well, we'll never know. But I want to say they're going, and they're going, and they're going, and there'll be a day when they're gone. If I had known that was the last time I was going to speak to her, the conversation would have gone in an entirely different direction. If you knew when the last occasion would be that you were going to have an opportunity to speak to someone who wasn't a Christian, would your conversation go in an entirely different direction? The clock is ticking. Time is running out. The task is urgent. One day, there may be no more opportunities. I'm not being morbid. I'm not trying to play on emotions. This, my friends, is the truth of Scripture. That's the way it is. So David the psalmist said, teach me to number my days. He didn't say this, but I'll add on to that, and live each day, as if my last. Because we cannot presume upon tomorrow. So can we together this morning, can we together before God promise that we're going to try and be intentional about telling people about Jesus? They may never hear it from anyone else. They may never have another opportunity. And this is a day of good news. And we keep it to ourselves. Sadly, very often, the answer is yes. Let's pray. Father, your word to us is never easy. It's not really what we want to hear, in a way. For those of us who have received your saving grace, from the bottom of our hearts, thank you so much that there came a day when someone either told us about it or we discovered it some other way. Thank you so much that having discovered it, you ask us actually to share it and be messengers, to be your agents of that same gospel. We recognize before you this morning, Lord, that that's not easy. We don't find it comes naturally. And so we're asking you that you would direct our conversations, the people that we meet and chat to, and that by the power of your Spirit giving us the words that we need to say at the time, or simply putting our confidence in you, that you will make us messengers of good news to people who are dying in their sins. So renew our resolve, we pray, because we recognize that this is an urgent task and it's one that you have asked us, commissioned us to undertake. We want to ask, Lord, that in this period of mission and evangelism, in this community of your people here, not only will we sow many seeds, but we might see fruit as well. And we don't want to do that for the glory or the honour of a church. We want to do it for your glory and your honour, Jesus. So use me, even me, to faithfully share good news. And we bring our prayer in the name of Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us and for everyone else. Amen.